Good morning. I hope you are having a wonderful day. We are down to the next to the last day of lecture. Kind of crazy for Chem 222. So what we're going to do in these last few days is go over some problems from the kinetics chapter and the nuclear chemistry chapter. Now, just as a quick review of all the stuff, and if you had lab yesterday, we talked about it, and if you have lab today or tomorrow, we'll talk about it during lab. But in a nutshell, for most of you, next week, Wednesday, in this room at 8:45 in the morning, we will take the lecture final. And the lecture final will be about 2 hours in length. When you come, there's a lot of things to bring. Bring a Scantron, absolutely, with 100 questions total. Calculator and a pencil. You will get a copy in lab this week of the take-home final, which is like a take-home quiz. And also, as I've been talking about, by this Friday, by 5 p.m., you can download and print a copy of the take-home lab final. So we won't have an actual in-class lab final. We'll have a take-home lab final. You do need to print it. I will not take electronic anything next week, so make sure you print it out. That will be due at the time of your lecture final as well. The lab we're doing this week will be due on Wednesday for you, the Kinetics 2 lab. And also there's a final exam prep worksheet that some of you have been working on. All of those things you should bring with you next week, Wednesday, to this room at 8:45. So the only thing we're doing next week is the lecture final. There is, again, no actual in-class lab final. We're going to do the take-home instead. And if all goes well, I'll have your grades. It says here Friday at 5. Sometimes I say Thursday at 5 as soon as I can. All right. But definitely pretty good. Any questions on that kind of stuff? Again, if you have lab today or tomorrow, we'll talk about this more during that time too. Let's do it. All right, let's start this review. Figuring out how fast a reaction is an important part of kinetics. And here we have a reaction where ethene is reacting with ozone to make some formaldehyde and some oxygen. And what we're trying to do here, we don't want the absolute speed of the reaction. We want to find the relative rate of the formation of formaldehyde. But in this problem, we only have the formation of oxygen. So this question is essentially saying, how do you translate oxygen's value into formaldehyde? So see if you can use that information to see which one of those would be correct. And along the way, remember that the rate of any of these, we put a negative in front of the reactants, if it's at a positive in front of the products, and you always go one over the stoichiometry to figure out how the different rates go. So see if you can use that information to figure that out. Of a chemical reaction is defined through any reactant or any product. And like we'll talk about in problem set number 6, either we did yesterday or we will do today or tomorrow, the key to figuring out how to describe the speed is if it's a reactant, so in this case the C2H4 or the O3, you put a negative sign in front of it. But if it's a product, which in this case is CH2 over O2, you put a positive in front of it. So reactants get a negative, products get a positive. And the other thing you need to do is go one over the stoichiometry. So C2H4 and ozone are both one, so there's like an invisible one over one right there. But when it comes to the products, there's definitely a 1 over 2 because the CH2O has a 2 in front of it. And over here, we have a 1 over 1 half because there's a 1 half there for stoichiometry, which is 1 over 1 half. What's another number for 1 over 1 half? 2. Right on. Good. That's right. Nick, you're the man. Don't worry. You're all really cool for doing it. Yeah. 2. Another way of saying this is 2. So instead of saying 1 over 1 half, it's completely legit to just put a 2 right there. All right? So in this problem, what we want to do is we want to solve for delta CH2O over delta T. So if you look at this long enough, then 1 half of that equals 2 times the delta O2. So when all is said and done then, if you want just the delta CH2O over delta T, you want to multiply both of these sides by 2. If you do that, the 2 over 1 half cancels out. It goes to 1. This is not 2 squared. This is 2 times 2. Sorry, kind of sloppy. This would be 2 times 2 or 4. And what that leaves you with then is that the delta CH2O over delta T equals 4 times the delta O2 over delta time. If you're looking at me and thinking like, what are you doing to me, Russell? Okay, here's what's going on. The amount of O2 that appears with time is some number. And if you multiply that number by 4, it will tell you how much CH2O is appearing with time. Alright, the difference between 2 and 1 half is essentially 4. We could multiply this whole thing through by 2. That would make it 1, and this would become 4. So if Daria is setting the amount of O2 that's appearing with time, but for some reason I would want to know how much formaldehyde is appearing by time, I could take her value, multiply it by 4 in order to get this kind of number. So the cool thing about this is that if I wanted to find the speed of this reaction, but I want to find the speed regarding CH2O, these are the kind of techniques we can do. Now, if we all decided to drive from here to Hood River, all right, we would use our odometer, speedometer, to figure out how fast we were going, all right, 60 miles per hour, 70 miles per hour. If you're going more than that, don't tell me because it's probably illegal. But anyway, there'd be some speed. We could look at our cars to figure it out. This is the chemist version of a speedometer, all right? And it's a little weird, but it's weird because the products have positive values and the reactants have negative numbers, and this is appearing, as it turns out, 4 times as fast as this is appearing. So this is how chemists think about the speed of reactions, all right? And the punchline for all of you is that if you're trying to write out these rate expressions, the negatives for reactants and positive for products, and always 1 over the stoichiometry. Questions on that? Here's the problem. Where NO and hydrogen gas are reacting to make nitrogen and water. All right, this reaction is second order with respect to NO and third order overall. See if you can use this information to find out which of these rate laws this describes. Did very well on this, but I do want to point out one thing. In chemistry, we make such a big deal of balancing reactions, right? Since Chem 221, this has been important. These numbers, the stoichiometric coefficients, are not necessarily the same as the orders of reaction. So if you put answer D, I'm assuming anyway that that's why you picked it. Like there's a 2 for NO and a 2 for H2, so it kind of feels like there should be a 2 right there. But in this world of kinetics, it's not always that simple. Most of these reactions have more than one step, and the slow step is what we use to determine what the orders of the reaction are. So one thing I want to point out is that the answer for this one is not D. Even though there's a 2 and a 2 right there, that doesn't mean that these will necessarily be 2 and 2. They might be, but it's not as likely. So to figure out what these numbers are here in front, in this problem we can look at the actual answer. It says the reaction is second order in NO, and that does mean then that the NO is going to get a 2 right there. So of the answers, it won't be A or B, because we have to have a 2 by the NO. Now, the last one doesn't make any sense at all. It has NO2 and H+, neither one of which are in this reaction. So answer E is kind of silly. Third order overall means that if you add those orders of reaction together, you're going to get 3. So if you know that's the case, then 2 for here and 1 for H2, that would be a third order overall. So that's another way of saying that if NO is second order, then H2 must be a first order. 2 plus 1 is 3. This would be third order overall in this reaction. Any questions? This reaction, same thing, second order in NO, third order overall. But in this one, what we're doing is we're changing the NO concentration by 5, all right? It's 5 times what it was. How will the rate be affected in this one, knowing what the rate was? In Chem 222 and Chem 223, the only values of these reactant orders, the little superscripts that go up there, the only values are 0, 1, and 2. So in this case, as we saw earlier, the NO is second order, third order overall, means that there's going to be a 1 right there. In this problem, we're increasing the NO by a factor of 5. So maybe we went from 0.1 molar to 0.5 molar or something like that. That would be an increase of 5. 5 right here, an exchange of 5. 5 squared is what we would do to figure out how the rate would change. If H2 stays the same, we don't change the temperature, so K stays the same. The only effect on the rate then will be this 5 times NO. And because it's a second order reactant, we would go 5 squared. What's the value of 5 squared? 25, that's right. So this rate would go up by 25 times. And second order reactants, the effects on the rate are just incredible, all right? You change it by 5, your speed goes up 25 times. So imagine if this was miles per hour and you went 25 times faster, that would be huge, all right? In chemistry, the effect is similar. It would be 25 times faster than it was before. So. Any questions? Now, if you don't know what the rate orders are and stuff like that, you can figure them out. And this is kind of what we did in the kinetics part one lab. So here we have a reaction, A and B reacting to make C. And we have here this strange column. Instead of calling it delta C over delta T, what kind of expression, what is this really saying? That's right, change in concentration over time, or the rate, all right? So this is nothing more than the rate of this reaction that's going on. You can use this information to find not only the rate orders, but the value of the rate constant K. So see if you can use all this information to do. And I appreciate if you think that AC/DC is cool, because it is. All right, let's be honest. Back in Black, number two album is a Michael Jackson Thriller. But anyway, that really is not the answer here, unfortunately. So see if you can find the... anyway, go for it. I'm shutting up. So on a problem like this, how you want to attack it is first of all find the orders with respect to A and B first. And the orders are these little X and Y's that I've kind of drawn up here. Once you have those, you can use one of these sets of data to go back and calculate K. So the values of K are like 2,000, 44, 400, et cetera, et cetera. All right. So in order to find X and Y, you want to try and find a place where, for example, A changes, but B stays the same. So if I was looking at this problem, I would look at the first versus the second set of data here. And I'm picking those because B is not changing. It's staying at 0.2. So A, as it doubles, any effect over here will be the result of A, this little X right here. If B stays the same, then there's no change to the rate based on B, all right? So A here is doubling, and the speed, or the rate, which is over here, you can see is going from 40 to 80. This is a doubling of A. How would you describe the change in the rate going from the first to the second one? Doubling as well. So in this case then, the concentration of A is a change of 2, and 2 to the x equals the change in the rate, which is also 2. And remember that in Chem 222 and Chem 223, x will only be 0, 1, or 2. Right? Outside of those classes, you might see some differences, but for us, just those. So what would be the answer over here if x was 0?
One.
That's right. Anything to the zero power would be one. So if there was no effect on the rate, if we had a one right there, that would imply that x was zero. What would be the effect on the rate if x was two? 4, that's right. 2 squared would give you 4. So if this went from 40 to 160, that would be an example of a change in the rate of 4 times. But as you can see, we don't have a zero order, which would be like 40 and 40. We don't have a second order, which would be like 40 and 160. We have 2 to the x equals 2. So that means that our A value here is going to be a first order reactant. Because we doubled the concentration of A, and the rate went up by 2. So 2 to the x equals 2. That little A right there, the little value of x for A, has to be equal to 1. Questions on that? Cool. Now, for B, we want to do something similar. And ideally, you want to have a place where the A doesn't change, but the B does. So if you look at number 3 relative to number 1, the A stays at 0.1, the B is going from 0.1 to 0.2. So we're doubling B, all right? This would be like 2 to the Y. And the rate is going from 40 to 40. That's the same thing, so 40 over 40 is just 1. Now remembering that y will be the same kind of values we had here for x, 0, 1, or 2. What is the value here of y?
0.
0, that's right. So that means that B is a zero order reactant, all right? So A is first order, B is zero order. If you want to talk about rate order overall, it would be 1, stuff like that. This is what the rate law looks like. And anytime you have something to the zero order, it's just equal to 1. You can ignore it mathematically. So now we've got A, first order, B, zero order. B doesn't even have to show up. So if you look through these answers right here, all right, can't be this one because B is zero order, not first order, which is what it's showing right there. A is first order, so it can't be this one. This would be second order. B is not first order, it's zero order. Can't be that one. I already babbled how it can't be AZDC, darn it, so it can't be that one. That really does leave just the answer D. So if you want, you can say D is the answer, and it is. If you want to be a completist, though, to find K, take any one of these. Let's take the first one. Rate this number equals K times A, 0.10 to the first, which is just 0.10. So 40 divided by 0.1 is how you officially get this 400 number. If you can do this kind of problem, you've got all the kinetics 1 stuff down, all right? It's just finding the orders first, then at the end, finding out what the K is. And I use the first set of data, but you can use any of these sets of data to figure out the same value of K. Any questions? Most of the things we're going to do are first order, definitely. All the biology stuff and all the radiation stuff, all first order, and honestly, most chemistry is. But we will see some examples of second order, all right? So if you do have a second order reaction, or you think you might have a second order reaction, you need to graph the data you have, which is basically some kind of reactant decreasing with time, and you should get a straight line for one of these 5 combinations, and see if you can figure out which of these 5 combinations will give you a straight line if it's a second order reactant. Thank you. McKinsey and I have a new process, all right, that we're pushing to industry. And we want to know how the reactant is changing with time. We really shouldn't assume that it's first order, all right? Like, most things are first order, but not all of them are. So if we have a bunch of values, which are concentration versus time, you can do these kinds of plots, which I have up here. And the top one is just concentration versus time, answer C. The second one is the natural log of concentration versus time, answer B. And the third one is 1 over concentration versus time, answer D. And if you get a straight line for the first one, concentration versus time, this means that your reactant is a zero order process. And so in the earlier examples where you had zero order B or whatever it was, that's the kind of behavior you'd get. Natural log of concentration versus time is a test for a first order reaction. And again, most of them will be like that. But if this is a second order reaction, we would not see a straight line right here. The straight line test, or the second order test, is when you have 1 over the concentration versus time, or answer D. Second order reactants have a straight line when you plot 1 over their concentration versus time. So if you have a set of data, concentration versus time, and it doesn't state explicitly what order it is, then maybe what you should do is graph all three of them like this, and on Excel or Numbers or Google and stuff, it's not too hard. The one that gives the best straight line fit will be the order. And again, most of the time it'll be this one, but not all the time. Question? Here's a reaction. It's first order. And we're plotting A going to B and stuff like that, no problem. And we find through a linear regression of our straight line on a first order graph that Y equals negative 0.00106X minus 0.3.91. What is the value of the rate constant K? So see if you can use your knowledge of what a first order reaction is all about, and also what the nature of a rate constant K is, to figure out which of those is the best answer. Thank you. I put up here the expression for finding half-life from rate constants or rate constants from half-life, which you don't really need for this problem, but I put it up here for a reason. T1/2 equals 0.693 divided by k. Now T1/2, the half-life, is of course the time to have half of your sample decompose. Are half-lives ever negative?
No,
right on. One good thing about chemistry is that time is always positive. I would love to be like the Twin Peaks and go backwards in the red room, but that was really unnecessary, sorry. But anyway, the reason I bring it up is that K and time, always positive numbers, all right? You're never going to have a negative time in chemistry, and you'll never have a negative K. So of these answers, all right, that one's just silly, Hitchhiker's Guide, it's going to be either D or B. Those are the positive ones, okay? And up here on these three graphs we had, one of the advantages of graphing zero, first, and second order is that it's the slope that's related to K, all right? For the natural log of concentration versus time, you have a negative slope. And if K can't be negative, that means that the opposite of this number, which is the slope for this line, is going to be the rate constant K. So I bring this up for a couple of reasons. First of all, Mackenzie asked a good question a second ago. K can be a number which is less than 1 or greater than 1, but it will never be 0 or negative. All right, K will always be a positive thing. And if you have then an equation like this, the slope is related to K. Now K will be negative for both 0 and first order. You would just take the opposite of it then to find the rate constant K. For a second order graph, the slope is positive, so slope equals k for those. So in the back of your mind, just remember that k is like time. It's always going to be a positive number, bigger than 1 or less than 1, but never negative. Any questions? Here's a reaction where we have a first order system, A going to B. We have a rate constant k. It's 0.030 per minute, or 0.030 minutes to the negative 1. And we have here a concentration, 0.36 molar, and we want to know how much of that will be left after 46 minutes. So see if you can use this information to calculate which of these answers makes sense. Thank you. If we start off with 0.36 molar, whatever this A is, does it make any sense that we could have, after 46 minutes, 0.50 molar?
No.
No, right on. A is a reactant, okay? So A is always going to be decreasing. So of these answers, E doesn't make sense here. If it was B, that could be possible because B would be increasing. But because A is a reactant, it's going to be a number less than that. But anyway, the way to solve this would be natural log of R over R0 equals minus KT. This is the integrated first order rate law. And K is the rate constant, 0.030, and T is the time elapsed. And like we talked about earlier, K and T must always be positive numbers. And also, T and K have to have the same kind of units. So this is in minutes, this is inverse minutes, that's good. If this was in hours, we would have to translate hours to minutes and stuff to make sure that the units were the same. Now, A here is the initial amount, R0, how much we're starting with. And we want to know how much is left, R, after 46 minutes. So at this point, just put the values in. Natural log, we don't know this amount, but we know we're starting with 0.36 molar. That equals minus KT, so there's the numbers. To get rid of the natural log, you use that little e to the x. It's usually second function ln on your calculator. So e to the minus 1.38 is this number right there. And if you take that and you multiply by 0.36, you should end up with a number smaller than 0.36, 0.091. Any questions? Gold is used for more than just jewelry. There's actually some uses for it in medicine. And gold 198 is apparently an unstable isotope with a half-life of 2.7 days. And we want to know in this problem that if we start with 5.6 milligrams of the gold, how long does it take for it to become 0.70 milligrams? So again, the gold is decomposing, and we want to know how long it's going to take. So see if you can use this information to calculate the time elapsed. And you might also need the half-life expression, half-life equals 0.693 divided by K, in order to solve for it. So in this problem, we're starting with 5.6 milligrams. We want to know how long time it takes to get down to 0.70. So natural log 0.70 divided by 5.6 equals minus kT. We're looking for time, but we don't have k. So this is a good time to implement the other equation, which goes along well with this stuff, which is where half-life equals 0.693 divided by k. These are all for first order reactions, and anything radioactive is first order. So it does give us the half-life, 2.7 days. So 2.7 equals 0.693 divided by k. You can solve for k, then plug that in down here. The only thing you don't know then is time. So when you do all of this, all right, first of all, solve for k if you want, or just put 0.693 divided by the half-life right there, that's okay. The times for all of these are in days, so the time comes out to be days. 8.1 days is how long it takes.
Yeah. Is 2.7, can't we just take half of the 5.6 and solve for k using 2.7? So we have the natural log of 2.8 over 5.6
equals negative k times 2.7. 2.8 over 5.6?
Yes.
Where do you get 2.8 from,
Dinner? Half of 5.6.
So that would be the half-life, and you're solving for k that way? Yeah, and if you put k back in here and got to this number, that would be okay. Yeah, that would be fine. Yeah, that would be totally fine. The half-life is like one half here, all right? So if you don't remember this number, you can always go natural log one half equals minus kT one half and stuff, and that's kind of what you did, and that's fine. You bet, that's not a problem. Took me a while to tune into that, but that's totally, yeah. Other questions? Okay. The last question we'll look at probably today is this one right here. And this has to do with a mechanism. And if you know the rate law for a reaction, the mechanism will help you to understand like why a reaction is faster or slower. So in this reaction of NO2 and CO, we have a two-step mechanism. All right, there's step one, there's step two. And notice how there's a slow step and a fast step. If this is a good mechanism, what will be the rate law for this reaction?
Slow step.
Yeah.
The what? Slow step. Or no?
See if you can figure it out, Gabe.
I thought that was a question.
Gabe has figured out, though, that yeah, there's something to do with the slow step, and that's awesome. You're on it, man. Don't worry about it. It's cool. It happens in 1303, stays in 1303. I'll edit out the video if you're really worried about it. Anyway, yeah, seriously, what the slow step is the key to figuring out the answer, which one of those makes sense, man. That's totally fine. It's cool having you here. Don't worry about it. So Gabe's absolutely right. In a problem like this, all right, reaction speed is determined by the slow step. And I've said this several times, but I'll say it one more time. Just like a chain is no stronger than the weakest link, a reaction is no faster than the slowest step. So Gabe is totally right. The slow step is the key here. So if this is going to be a valid mechanism, the rate reactance will be reflected in the slow step. So in this reaction, the slow step has two NO2s coming together. We would write then the rate law, which is reflected in the slowest step, as rate equals K times not just one NO2, but actually two NO2s. So this would be second order NO2. CO would be a zero order reactant stuff. Vadim, you had a question.
The NO, mm-hmm. the slow step, is that just the waste product of the slow step?
The NO is one of the products of this reaction, and it is not a reactant in the slow step, so it wouldn't affect the actual pieces that make the speed go up and down. You could describe this speed through the NO, like minus delta NO over delta T, but it doesn't affect like how fast or slow it goes, man. That's how I would think about this reaction. So we'll start again with this on Friday. Have a wonderful day. I'll see you.